T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Palmetto Guardian. I'm Sergeant Chelsea Weaver, and today I have another member of the Education Office. Like I said, I promised you in the last episode we were going to have some more individuals come in and talk about different benefits that the Education Office has to offer. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and then we're just going to dive on in.
Hi, I'm Specialist Squire, and I'm the GI Bill Manager for South Carolina.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here, taking time out of y'all's busy schedule. I know that y'all are super busy with all the new changes and stuff like that. And also, some of y'all might not know, but Specialist Squires used to be in public affairs with us. So it's nice to have her back and talk about some education benefits. So let's just dive on in. Today, specifically, we're talking about the GI Bill. So with Mr. Mead, we talked about CAP. So what are the different types of GI Bills available to use if you're eligible?
So if you're eligible, your different options to you with the GI Bill are going to be the Chapter 1606, the Post 9/11, and the Chapter 30.
What are the differences between the Chapter 1606, the Post 9/11, and the Chapter 30?
So primarily, I'm just going to go over the Chapter 1606 and the 9/11, just the huge differences. So primarily, the requirements and the payments differ. The Chapter 1606 requires that soldiers have a six-year contract, a high school diploma, and an IADT completion. Post 9/11 requires that soldiers have qualifying service time during certain periods on Title 10 orders or Title 12 AGR status of more than 90 days or more. Also, another difference is the payments. So Chapter 1606 gives up to a payment of $481 monthly for full-time enrollment, plus a kicker if you're eligible. And this payment goes directly to the soldier. Post 9/11 funds are based on the amount of time that you've served on active duty. So whether you've served 90 days to 3 years will impact your amount. Plus, then post 9/11 pays directly toward the school and the soldier.
What is the Chapter 30 then?
So the Chapter 30 is an education benefit that applies to service members who served on AGR status. It allows service members to invest or deduct $100 monthly. This is the only GI Bill that has a deduction for 12 months, and it basically goes into their GI Bill to receive an increase in the amount that they receive back from their GI Bill of up to $2,400 monthly.
So besides the differences of the different GI Bills, what are the requirements or the eligibility to be able to apply for those?
So with the 1606, I think most soldiers in the Guard are going to be eligible for that one. That one requires the six-year, the high school diploma, and the IADT completion. And then the post 9/11, you need to be on Title 10 orders, on certain Title 10 orders, like COVID or the Southern Border Mission. Those are just two examples. And then obviously AGR status of 90 days or more. And those are the two requirements for soldiers, or if you've been on an deployment. So those are the requirements for post 9/11.
Okay. And then with the post 9/11, isn't it a certain amount per amount of time you've been in an active status?
Yes.
Okay.
So from 90 days to 3 years, that could impact your pay.
Okay. So if a service member is contracted for the kicker incentive, which GI Bill would they need to use to get the kicker incentive? Well, I guess maybe first we should talk about what is the kicker incentive before we go into that.
So when you enter the Guard, your recruiter basically, if you get over a 50 on your ASVAB, you are eligible to receive a kicker. And at that point, you will sign your NGB 5435 at the time of joining the Guard. And that's how you get the kicker.
Okay. So then can you use that simultaneously with the different GI Bills?
Yes, you can use it with your 1606.
Okay.
I also wanted to add with the kicker, that amount is actually $200. So if you're a full-time student and you're enrolled and you're getting the 481, then you would also see that additional $200 on there as well. So essentially you're getting 681 if you were eligible. So that's how that one works.
So how can a service member know which GI Bill they are eligible for and where they would go to apply?
You can know based on, so I talked about before, the three requirements. So if you know that you haven't done, you know, AGR status or active duty time, than active duty time within the guard, then you can kind of assume that you're 1606. And you can always call into the office too. So you apply on va.gov. You create an account if you haven't done it before. And yeah, it's pretty simple. You put in your information, you put in your classes, and you're good to go from there.
So service members, they're eligible. They apply for it. How many months can they receive for any of these GI bills? Is it different for each one, or is it pretty much the same across the board?
Okay, yeah. So the Chapter 1606 is going to be, you're eligible for that for 36 months. And the Post 9/11 goes up to 48 months. So does the Chapter 30.
Is there a lifetime cap as far as how many months you can receive? Or what you just said is, that's as many months as you can use it?
So yeah, that's as many months as you can use it. It's not like the other ones.
So if somebody went for an associate's degree, mm-hmm. and I mean, I don't know how many months an associate's degree takes, but like say they don't use all of it, then they want to continue for a bachelor's later on, or do the months just add on after what they haven't used, or does it start over?
Yes. So actually soldiers come in and ask all the time, like, how many months do I have left? Like, that's a valid question. So if you start using it for your associates and then you're like, you know what, I'm getting enough with FTA and CAP, you know, I don't really want to, you know, use up all my months, you can actually go back and use it later for your master's, PhD even. It's up to you how you use it.
Okay, so you can use that for your master's, because I know mm-hmm. talking with Mr. Mead about CAP, like that was a huge point that he kept making, was that it was only for undergraduate.
Your bachelor's, yeah.
Okay, so that's good to know. That way that if your tuition is covered with these other benefits, you mm-hmm. can always save those. You don't have to use all of them at the same time.
Yes, actually we kind of, we don't tell people what to do with their GI Bill. It's their benefits, but that is kind of a smart way. Like if you want to, you know, get further ahead with your education.
So I know I keep reverting back to my conversation with Mr. Mead, but it's just because it's so fresh in my mind. And if yeah. individuals are listening to this episode, they probably listen to that episode. So are there things that can affect you, whether it suspends or terminates your GI Bill, and can it be reinstated? So like I know with CAP, if you're flagged, it can affect mm-hmm. you. Is it the same for the GI Bill?
Yes. So your benefits can be suspended if you're flagged. And also benefits can be terminated. A lot of soldiers don't know this, but if you are kind of like, you don't know if you want to join the Guard, you do have 365 days to like make a decision. Let's say you take like a 2-year break from the Guard, you do lose your benefits forever for the GI Bill.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. You have like basically a year to get back in.
So like people who are in for say 15 years and they have a break of service and it's,
yes,
then they just lose them
forever.
That's crazy. Yes. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. What about service members who were prior service? Do they still get GI Bill benefits? And like, I know we have a lot of people who come from active duty or the Marines or
oh yeah
stuff like that. Like, are they still eligible for the GI Bill, or are their benefits different because they were active duty and not in the Guard?
So active duty, if a soldier was active duty and they came over into the Guard, they would actually already have the Post 9/11, which is great for them, mm-hmm. Or Chapter 30. And if you're a National Guardsman, which they usually have the Chapter 1606, let's say they're coming from the reserves, like their benefits would just transfer over. So however many months they used in the reserves would transfer into the Guard.
But if they have a break of service, that
yeah, so if they have like over a year or a year and a day, they lost it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I bet you guys see that a lot probably. Like,
yeah, it kind of sucks to that's
have
bad
to tell
news.
Them. Yeah. We've talked about the requirements, how to apply, different things and all that, but or how many months and everything. Is there an expiration date for the Post 9/11 for those who are serving?
So, yes, there is. You cannot use it forever. There is a 15-year delimiting date or expiration date if the service member is discharged from active duty prior to 01 January 2013. And there is no delimiting date for active duty soldiers. When I say active duty, please know this is like AGR status, 90 days. The people who qualify for the Title X orders. So
does that include ADOS orders?
Yes, certain ADOS orders, okay. Like the ones I mentioned. And there's a list of them, so there's no expiration date from discharge from active duty on or after 1 January 2013. So if you didn't discharge before then, you're fine. There's no expiration date, actually, for the post 9/11. The only thing I would like to add with the Chapter 30 is that this is I usually brief this to the AGR soldiers who are just now onboarding. And I always just say, like, if you're going to use your Chapter 30, because I think a lot of people see the amount and you only have to pay $1,200 into it, which is $100 monthly. And people see that amount and they're like, hey, you know, how can I use this? And the only thing I would say with that is that you cannot use the Chapter 30 and the post 9/11 together. So if you have benefits transferred to your spouse or children, you cannot combine these two. You would basically lose your 9/11 benefits. So that's the only thing that I kind of want to just add with a caveat to the Chapter 30.
Okay. So my next question was, for those who are receiving or eligible for the post 9/11, are they able to transfer that to their spouse or dependents?
So yes, you are able to transfer to your spouse and dependents.
What would be that process, whether they use it or use some of it? Like, how does it work to be able to transfer that to their dependent or their spouse?
Yeah, so this is actually a really common thing. So most of the time a soldier probably used like a year of their GI Bill and they have like 2 years left. And this is just post 9/11, because if you have 1606, they do not qualify to transfer benefits. Just going to put that out there. You already have to have your spouse and children registered and DEERS. You cannot just say, hey, my wife or your children, like, they have to be registered so the system knows who you're transferring it to. And then at that point, once they're registered, you can go into VA.gov and transfer those benefits over with however many months you have left. Also, if you want to say like, hey, you know, I have a spouse and I have two children and I want to disperse it amongst them evenly, you can do that as well in VA.gov.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that. Now, I know with certain benefits, you have to be in, like, you have to have a certain amount of time left on your contract, or you have to give a certain amount of time, or like, how does that work with these education benefits specifically?
So the criteria for to transfer your benefits, you must be currently serving. You must have 6 years already completed and done, not be flagged, obviously. And you must agree to serve 4 years after the date of application, because TEB benefits or transfer education benefits are basically they are an incentive to keep soldiers in. So you have to have 4 years at the date of the application.
Okay. So example, I've been in 14 years.
Yes.
I know I used part of my 9/11. I couldn't tell you how much I've used, but whatever. Let's say I used a year and I have 2 years. Mm-hmm. And my stepdaughter, she's going to be going to college in 4 years. She's going to be a freshman this coming year.
Yes.
And I want to transfer benefits to her tomorrow.
Yes.
I would have to have 4 years from that date to transfer them to her.
Yes.
Okay. But it doesn't matter when she uses them. That's just to transfer them.
That's just a transfer. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She can use them at any time, but just for that application to get approved at that day and time. But that's why I think it's smart for soldiers to, once you get done with your 6 year, and you're listening to this podcast and you know you're going to stay in for another, you know, 6 years.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to do next. You're like, I'm just probably going to stay in. Then I would sign then. Like, that's just so you can go to be eligible for your TEP benefits.
So say you did that and then they either use them or maybe they use a year and there's a year left. And then you're like, hey, I want to go to school. Can you still use them or do you have to transfer them back? You have to have a certain amount of time, like, on your contract. How does all that work?
So you can still play with the different amounts that you get versus the spouse or children or whoever uses it. You can still play with the percentages of it. So if you wanted to go to school, you just go back into VA.gov and you transfer it back to yourself.
Say I do all that, using me as an example, because I know that it's different for every situation. And 4 years comes along, she's going to college, and I'm ready to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Can she use them or do I have to actively stay in order for her to use however many months I have?
No, so that's just for the application to get approved. So at that date, when you're in VA.gov and you're like, okay, I want to transfer my benefits, then you need to have that 4 year and maybe a couple of days just so it gets approved, because it, you know, it takes like a month. So I would just have like a 4 years and 2 months just to be safe. And then go from there. Yeah.
Okay. So continuing the conversation with using me as an example, is there a cutoff age to be able to transfer these, specifically the post 9/11, to your dependent or your children?
Yes. So there is a cutoff age. So benefits must be transferred to the child before the age of 23. Benefits may begin utilizing their benefits at age 18, and it will expire on their 26th birthday. So So I've had a child of a service member basically call in and say, like, hey, you know, I want to use my benefits. And she happened to be, like, 31.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm so sorry. Like, you can't, you know, that's, you can't use his benefits. Like,
oh, wow. Okay, so going back to my example, just to, like, clarify to people and, like, for me to visually understand this. So, like, I transfer to my stepdaughter and she decides, I'm not going to go to college. And then I get out after the four years and however many months.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's 22, 23. And she's like, I want to go back. I actually want to go to college now. And she's still eligible until she's 23 is what you're saying.
She's still eligible to use it until 26.
I'm sorry. 26. Mm-hmm. Okay. But
you just have to transfer before the child is 23.
Gotcha. Okay. This is a lot. I'm just trying to make it a little bit easier for, like, listeners to understand, but it's so hard because there's so many different scenarios.
Yes.
So, like, I'm just trying to throw an example out there. I'm sorry, y'all, if I'm making it more complicated, but.
I remember this one because 26 is when you get your car insurance, you're kicked off, the health insurance, you're kicked off. So that's how I remember, like, that's a cutoff age. Like, you can't use anything from your parents after that age.
Just do it as, like, early. You said, like,
he's 6 years old, you can transfer it.
Yeah.
Transfer it anytime.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we kind of already talked about where to go and how to apply and all that. You said it could take a little, like, it could take up to a month and everything. Like, is there a specific amount of time once you apply, or is it kind of just a waiting game? And then is there anything that you have to do in the meantime, or once you are approved, is there anything that you have to do?
Yeah. So I know soldiers, if you were in, like, when I was in, you had to, like, get your NOBE and take it to the school and fill it out and do all this extra stuff. So we actually don't do the NOBE anymore. And once you apply on VA.gov, you put your classes in, you are done after that. You will just wait a month. Well, I'll say a week to a month. So apply early. Apply when you apply for CAP and FTA and all those things. And after approval, you'll just need to verify your enrollment each month. So basically just saying, like, hey, I'm still in these classes. I still need the funds to be dispersed to my account. And, yeah, you go from there.
Now, do they send that directly to the school and pay, or do they send it to you and then you have to pay? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so post 9/11, tuition and fees go straight to the school, 100%. And then you, as a 9/11 service member, you also get a housing stipend and a book allowance as well. Those go straight to whatever the account that the soldier has filed online. Now, 1606, which is what most National Guardsmen have, they actually, that amount of the up to 481 goes straight to the soldiers, whatever the account that they have on file.
Okay. So with all these other education benefits, there are specific time frames where, or application windows where you have to apply for these benefits. For the different GI bills, is there a specific time or window that they have to apply to be able to receive these benefits?
Yeah. So I always advise soldiers to just apply before that school date starts. Technically, you can get back pay. So let's say you're like, oh, I forgot about the GI Bill and I really want to use it, or I don't have enough funds to cover the semester amount and I really want to use my GI Bill now. You can always go back through and within that first month of that classes have started and go back through and apply for those. But again, you still have to wait to get approved, which could take up to a month. And then the amount still has to get dispersed, which takes a couple business days. So I always just advise, you know, just get on that early when you're applying for CAP and FTA. And you know you want to use your GI Bill, apply for it then as well. But if you do it late, there is like a small window and you can get back paid for those that month that you may have missed.
Now, I know we talked about a lot. We've kind of been all over the place. But is there anything else that about any of these that we haven't talked about or information maybe that service members should know? Or I know it's a lot of information and it's a little confusing, but is there anything else to add before we close out?
That's everything out there.
Okay. Well, before we close out, if you want to just give everyone your information so that if they have questions, they can reach out, and then that way they're not thinking as crazy as we are trying to come up with scenarios in our head.
I'm Specialist Squire again, and my office number is 803-299-2325. If you have any further questions, I'm always here. Just leave a voicemail. My email, that's what I love to use, is Jasmine with a Z. So JAZMINE.D.Squire.Mill@Army.Mill. Also, please follow our Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook is SCARNGESO, and our Instagram is SCARNG underscore education. And you can find, like, a lot of our silly videos on there where we're trying to, like, get soldiers to know about their education benefits.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll add all that in the description. Okay. That way it's easy for them to get a hold of you guys. And Mr. Mead showed me the music video, so y'all have to go watch that on.
Please go watch.
I was dying. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and taking the time to talk to us. I know that people are going to have questions, so this is just, like, basic information to get out so that people know what's going on. So if y'all have any questions or if we completely confused you, please reach out to Specialist Squire and check back with us, because we're going to have more individuals from the education office come in and talk about other benefits that they offer. So yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Of course. It was my pleasure.
Awesome. All right. Well, if you guys like this video, make sure you give it a big thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed to our channel, make sure you hit the subscribe button, and we will catch you guys in the next episode.